views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Each week on the hit show Out of the Fog, spark your spirit and ignite your soul. Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic, lights up your day with spiritual conversation, enlightening guests, and on-air readings that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, light workers, spiritual visionaries, and more. Whether she's interviewing someone well-known or unknown, Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity keep the atmosphere positive and generous. Want an on-air reading? Tune in to hear Karen and take your calls and deliver the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Now here's your host, Karen Hager.
Hello and welcome to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. Each week at this time, we gather for spiritual conversation and enlightening guests. I want to spark your spirit and ignite your soul. I want to get you moving. From stuck to unstuck, out of fear and into love. I'm glad you're here, whether you're listening live or you're catching an archived version of the show. See, time and distance are no barrier to energy. And whenever you're tuning in, no matter how you found us, I think you're here for a reason. So I hope something you hear in the next hour gives you a new perspective, strikes your curiosity, and helps you move forward. One of the greatest gifts that we can be given is the chance to be involved in a child's life, whether that is as a parent, as an aunt or an uncle, friend or teacher. Our kids really are the future. What we teach them, the world we make for them, what we set in motion now has consequences that they will live out, that they'll live through in the years to come. And in my work, I'm hearing more and more from parents who feel that their child is special, is different, is more sensitive. They may be talking about things that they see that other people can't see. They may be experiencing and working with intuitive abilities. And the parents wonder, how can they best nurture their child's gifts? That is what sparked my interest in talking with Dr. Karen Good today. As an author, a psychotherapist, a trainer, and a coach for parents, she wants to help us understand an intuitive child's world and teach us how to validate and not suppress the child's intuitive abilities. Now, if you have a parenting question for Karen, would you please call in? The number is 800-930-2819. That's 800-930-2819. You can also shoot me a message using the instant feedback box at transformationtalkradio.com. That box is right on the right-hand side of the page near the top. I'll introduce you to Dr. Karen Good in just a minute, but first, please head over to fogcitypsychic.com and click on everything you find there. I've got a free audio to help you jumpstart your daily spiritual practice. You can find out what's coming up on the radio show and lots more. The next session of the Online Intuitive Development Intensive starts in January. Oh, we're gearing up for the holiday giveaway. That starts on December 3rd. We'll talk more about that last week. Yay, I love the holiday giveaway. Anyway, there's a bunch to click on, a bunch of stuff to do at fogcitypsychic.com. And if you are looking for compassionate, no-nonsense intuitive guidance, check out the website and see if you think we'd be a good fit for each other. I'd love to connect with you privately. And now, Dr. Karen Good founded the Academy for Coaching Parents International, which trains and certifies parenting and family coaches. The HeartWise relationship model for connection and communication is the brand of coaching for parenting, relationships, and life coaching programs. Dr. Good is the author of Raising Intuitive Children and several dozen other print and digital books on parenting, education, marketing, and health. You can find out more about Karen and her work at drkarengood.com and at raisingintuitivechildren.com. Karen, welcome to Out of the Fog.
Thank you. I love being out of the fog. It's wonderful.
Well, it beats the heck out of being in the fog, doesn't it, really?
Yes, it does. I love visibility.
Yes, it's true. And I think there's clarity, too. A lot of times we kind of, one of the reasons I named the show that is there are a lot of times we kind of stumble around looking for answers. And it's often when we stop and take a breath that the answer can appear. And sometimes it is like the answer is coming out of the fog. We just have to stop and wait for that clarity to settle in. And then we maybe know a little bit better what we're supposed to do next.
So. Amen to that. It's better than the metaphor of being hit by that 2x4 and losing your sense for a while.
Yes. Although I've experienced that too. I'm familiar.
I know. That's why I love the name of your show.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm loving your book. I'm reading Raising Intuitive Children. I'm loving the book, and I thought I'd start out just by asking you, the word intuitive is kind of loaded. Some people use intuitive to mean psychic. Some people say they have different meanings. So when you talk about intuitive children, what does the word intuitive mean to you?
I use the word intuitive in the sense of intuitive intelligence. Everyone has intuition, but based upon people's genetic predisposition to life, they're either going to be thinkers or doers, but the feelers are the intuitive people who use their intuitive sense to plan, succeed, just like anyone else would make a shopping list. I go to the grocery store, and I look to see what I want for the week and buy that rather than shopping like a cognitive person might do from a list. So I use intuitive to mean literally the gift of intuitive intelligence, which crosses all boundaries of how children learn. So, yes, there are psychic children who are exceptional with intuitive intelligence, and yet that child may be no different than an athletic child who uses their intuitive intelligence or their intuition to feel their way through a football game or catching a ball or holding a bat. So there are different variations of the gift of intuitive intelligence, such as empathy. Think of a child who's sensitive, right, and can feel the emotions of others. That's an intuitive sense, a feeling sense. So there are a couple of charts in the book which describe children who are gifted with intuitive intelligence through their mental senses, their emotional senses, and their feeling senses. And that's our psychic kid that moves through the world and learns in a feeling, experiential sense. And they're very different from the way that our culture is structured. Even in families, they're called different, strange, weird, because they approach their interaction with life through a feeling sense.
What sense? It does make sense, and it what kind of things would I notice in my children that might lead me to think that I am the parent of one of those intuitive kids?
You would listen to their words. So when they say, I feel this, and I sense that, and I feel this, then they're not saying, I think. They're not saying, I'm going to go do. They're saying, I'm feeling like I want a kitten. I'm feeling like I want to adopt that dog next door that stays in his backyard all day. I feel that dog. So that's one thing. The other is that they're going to come up with creative ideas all the time. Creative ideas to earn money, creative ideas to paint, to draw, to color. Somebody like me, my mother was trying to teach me to sew something when I was 15, and she got so frustrated that I could not put the zipper in right. So I told her to go away and leave me alone and let me do it my way. Well, my brain is wired to turn that zipper upside down and backwards. Uh-huh. And I sewed it that way, and it was fine. So we don't approach life in a logical brain. We approach it holistically.
So kids who are intuitive can be successful. It's just that they are interfacing in a different way. They need a kind of a workaround. I should say that I'm the adoptive mom of two astonishing children, and both of them, I find, as a mom to both of them, they both need workarounds to interface with the real world, and I use that term loosely. What I'm hearing you say is that kids can be successful. It's just that they may need help and time to make things kind of palatable, to make it so they can deal with it.
Yeah, to make it so that they make sense. For example, everybody takes, these personality tests like the Myers-Briggs and things, and there's always an intuitive component. So when you hear people talk about intuitive personalities, it's always they're different, they're strange, they're weird. Well, there's only four basic core temperaments to the human race: the doer, the thinker, the feeler, and the sensor. And, that's from Freud and Carl Jung and all the way through. So if we're looking truly at a fourth of the population of people who actually feel their way through the world instead of thinking or planning their way through the world, they are the entrepreneurs, a school in Vancouver who understands these kids, accommodates them in a math class by letting them sit. They have to move. They wiggle around. Mm-hmm. They kick their feet. They annoy people. So in a classroom, they set these exercise balls in a corner, and the kids can take their math book and just go sit on an exercise ball, and they're no different than sitting in a desk, but they feel freer. So when they're feelers, they don't want to be confined for a long period of time. Their body's used to moving energy and being connected to energy, right?
Yes.
So they see energy, they feel energy.
Now, you're listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. My guest is Dr. Karen Good. She's the author of Raising Intuitive Children, and we'll be right back after this.
Tune in to The Sean and Jen Show, Soul Path Insights Radio, each Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show with Sean and Jen will have you saying yes to as much abundance as you desire. Imagine a happier soul radiating energy in all areas of your life. Get ready to understand the meaning and the message in your life. Shift obstacles to opulence. Experience powerful, intuitive coaching, live readings, and transformative tools as Sean and Jen dare you to live your best life.
Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today.
Did anyone teach you to be a parent? What if there were tools that could make your job a whole lot easier? Glenna Rice invites you to be the questionable parent you truly be in a dynamic teleseries designed to empower parents to know that they know and give you the awareness required to create ease and joy between you and your children. Check out GlennaRice.com to learn more and to book a private session, or dial 415-235-2807.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
Ha 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 Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. My guest is Dr. Karen Good. She's the author of Raising Intuitive Children, and you can find out more about her, her work. Check out the book at raisingintuitivechildren.com and at drkarengood.com. Now, before the break, we were talking, you had started to talk, Karen, about some of the ways that a school can accommodate, can support intuitive children, and it's so, I know this from my own parent experience, it's so important that children have a successful school experience so that they don't get into a pattern of always being the one who gets in trouble, always being the one who's doing the wrong thing. What are some other ways that schools can support these kids?
One of the ways that schools can support them is to allow them an expressive way to apply what they learn. For example, I came from special education, and what I learned about these children early on, I mean, I started teaching, you know, when I was 20 years old, and I wasn't much older than some of the kids, but they all had a strong sense of intuition. So first, I asked them, you know, you're in my special ed classroom because they say you don't know how to spell. So how do you learn how to spell? Well, one child will close his eyes and see them, but he has to be able to do that in a classroom. He has to be able to close his eyes and then write a letter. Close mm-hmm. his eyes and then write a letter. So, you know, that takes time, right? And it's not, he can't do it orally or verbally. So allowing different methods of expression to see if they really know the subject matter is the best way that a lot of these children comprehend life. So if they read a storybook or something about history, it's a lot better to have them work with their hands or create an art project or, you know, literally develop a little video or a PowerPoint about what they understand or use clip art to develop their own storyline. So these kids like to be in life, and they're highly entrepreneurial, highly expressive. So to ask them to just spell a word out loud, but, you know, it doesn't do anything for them. They can't do it. Mm-hmm. When I ask these kids, for example, like to close their eyes and imagine an image that would help them learn or an image that would tell me that they're ready to learn. You know, it's simple things like a smile on their face or sitting up in their desk. But I let all of the leads about how I teach them come from them. And that's probably the most powerful experience that I've ever had with a group of children who actually could tell me how they learn and how they, even if they're labeled with emotional issues, I ask them, how do you calm down when you're at home? If your dad screams at you and sends you to the room or threatens you, how do you shift your mood? How do you connect with your friends? So that's the kind of learning that I consult on, how to ask questions, how to teach them to apply what they feel to their life. These kids, because their feelers, to me, are at risk for the attention deficit disorders, yet if you got a mentally engaged child in a game of chess, they're going to learn to focus. They're going to learn to pay attention. These children are empathic. So if you've got a bully in the classroom, you know, I'm not sure I would leave an empathic kid in a classroom without some sort of martial arts or kickboxing to know how to defend himself. Because they feel so deeply, they take on others' pain or others' hurt. So if these kids show optimism, for example, that's a strength that a teacher would cultivate by having them be optimistic in the classroom, by having them be a classroom leader, for example, and give, exemplify behavior, demonstrate something for the group. So the only thing that I believe schools do not tolerate are kids who see clairvoyantly, who see ghosts, to see energy around people. And to be honest, they're not ready for it. And most of these kids are homeschooled or have private schooling. Mm-hmm. But the intuitive intelligence can be used in a lot of different ways for learning, as long as the child's needs are taken care of, the need to express, the need to make it real, the need to feel good about it. You know, screaming at a child in a math class, they're going to tune you out. All of them will. But the intuitive child, they'll shut down completely. You won't hear a word you have to say. That's the difference.
Do you think, Karen, that a lot of the labeling that goes on in terms of deciding that very young children can have a label of an emotional problem or some kind of issue, whether it's ADD or it's oppositional defiant disorder or anything like that, are those children more likely to be labeled?
You're talking about intuitive children?
I'm wondering if intuitive children, because of the way that they are kind of processing information that's outside the norm, if they are more likely to be labeled with those diagnoses or those particular things.
No, not that early. I don't see that they're... when they get to school, yes, because it's a left-brain world. But in the early years, I have found that parents expect children to be intuitive. There's a lot of good teaching going on in the early childhood world about the level of development, and literally, a child's brain has 125% more what you call synapse connections. All the neuronal connections are quite triple what an adult is, you know, in their adult life. But that gets pruned, okay, around age 6 or 7. It's just like pruning a tree. Oh, the child hasn't used this, okay, we'll cut that off. So for parents to know, it's not that the child's behavior, unless they're a deep feeler and extremely sensitive, and the emotional atmosphere of the home, you know, is not hot, but most children would not be labeled that early with behavioral issues, because it's understood that they, you know, have friends, invisible friends, and they make up stories, and it's a high time of imagination. And a lot of parents don't know the difference, to be honest, between intuition and imagination. So it's when they get older and get into school and the cognition sets in and they're expected to think about things, but instead they're feeling them, and they're focused on how they feel, not on what their thoughts are. That's the big difference, I think.
Mm-hmm. And parents who are raising intuitive children can support the child in a lot of different ways. You talk about different parenting styles in the book, and there are some great, really practical examples in there of ways you can talk with your child. Can you say a little bit about how our parenting styles can support our intuitive kids?
Sure. Let's look at the doer. And I'm sure we all know somebody in our community who's a high-level exec, manager, workaholic, loves to do things, you know, mountain climber, race driver, workaholic, writer kind of person. They put in long hours, and they're not much on, they can be emotionally sensitive, but, you know, they don't want to hear the drama stories, okay? So you have a feeling kid. So a parent who is a doer can actually teach a feeler how to achieve something. You know, how to focus on the goal of achieving something instead of trying to feel their way through it. Like my mother took me through sewing until I couldn't follow her anymore, and then I just did it my own way because I got the big picture. That's what intuitives get, the big picture. Mm-hmm. What they don't always get is step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So a doer parent is actually perfect at helping kids achieve models and you know, do homework and practice a spelling word or writing, things of this nature. Let's say that you are a cognitive type parent, very left brain, very list oriented, and you've got this feeling child who gets lost in television and movies and drawing and doesn't hear a word you have to say. Because this kid is not in time, this kid is in his zone or her zone. So cognitive type parents can set schedules for these kids. And literally, you know, these would be the kinds of children that I, as a parent, would call to make sure they got home to school on time. home from school on time. I would have a list on the refrigerator, and I would ensure that, you know, in my check-in during that day, that the kid at least got number one done before I came home from work. So, you know, any parent would say, well, by age nine, my kid should know to do that. They should know that. Well, they should, if they're a cognitive person like the parent is, but they're not. They're artistic. They're temperamental. They don't feel like it. Well, you can help them feel like it through appreciation, through free time, through not bugging them. You see, the feeler can take it all in, or the feeler can learn to feel good and successful and learn to focus. So I think that the parenting core temperament can really be a gift for these kids to be successful in life in different ways based upon what's going to be expected from them. That's where I think these kids have problems. What are we going to expect from them?
Right. And what does the world expect, really? Yes.
Well, the lucky thing is that these kids are highly entrepreneurial in nature. They're going to be the lemonade stand owners. They're going to be the babysitters, you know, at age nine. I got to get out of the house. I got to go earn money. Oh, you're only 9 years old. What do you want money for? Well, I've got a plan to do this project. Oh, what's your project? Well, I'm going to buy a used guitar, and I'm going to do some music, and then I'm going to sell the music to everybody at school. I have a stepson who is highly intuitive feeler. So these kids have music in their head, and they got to get it out. If you happen to call them to dinner at the time the music is playing, they're not going to hear you. So you need to help them get the music out of their head and get it on paper. If you got somebody who's writing a book, why not just give them a journal and let them write before dinner, and then they come to dinner on time? So it's getting all this creativity out and expressed. But we have a time structure on this planet, and they don't. So that's an interface that has to take place.
Does that help you? Oh, my gosh, it does. This is wonderful stuff. You are listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. My guest is Dr. Karen Good. She's the author of Raising Intuitive Children, with a blue million other books. And we'll be right back after this.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
Get ready for a new and brighter future with The Joseph Gabby Show. Consciously living your destiny. Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to break through stagnation and procrastination and fulfill your life's destiny. This hit show will clear mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual stuckness using numerology and an endless list of life-energizing tools live on air. To find out more about Joseph and how to discover the power of blueprint numerology and spiritual healing, visit www.consciouslylivingyourdestiny.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today.
How would you feel if you could bring magic into your life? Here is your Essence of Gratitude tip of the day. By living the essence of gratitude within our soul at each moment of our life, we consciously choose and embody its high frequency energy, and that is when magic starts to appear. To learn more about the magic of the Essence of Gratitude, visit our website at explorationgratitude.com.
Have you ever considered what money and sex have in common? Brenda St. Louis, founder of Know That You Know, explores the energies of debt, money, sex, and our bodies. In her four-week intensive Debt Into Delight, Getting Intimate with Your Digits, she tickles all those places we don't want to look at, infusing everything with exuberance. Would you be willing to have more money? Would you be willing to have more of you? Explore more of Brenda St. Louis at knowthatyouknow.com.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager, and usually the amazing Chris runs the show. Today, the amazing Chrissy's running the show. She picks great music just like the amazing Chris does, so I love it. I'm doing my little happy dance over here. My guest on today's show is Dr. Karen Good. She's the author of Raising Intuitive Children and a bunch of other books besides, including Children Who See Ghosts, which is something we might talk about here at a little bit later in the program. Karen, we were talking before the break about how we as parents can kind of adapt our parenting styles so that we can give them the gift of the things that we're good at, but also allow them to express what they need to express and give them space to go their own way. And one of the things that I loved in the book was when you talked about how we structure time for children so much, and you talked about the importance of leaving space in a child's life, unplanned space. Can you say something about that? I think that's good for grown-ups too.
Yeah, I would love to, because I never really understood this until I came well into adulthood. But some of the children that I taught asked me, now these were the special ed kids, you know, junior high and sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth grade. But on Friday afternoons, you know, the other special ed teacher was pushing her kids with tests and, you know, pushing this logic and pushing the math. And my students came to me and asked me for downtime. And I said, what do you mean? And they actually wanted to meditate. So, you know, we put on music, but we also did projects because I was in a school and I had to get permission. So we did, like, art projects where whatever the reading was, you know, was expressed in the ways they could express clay or drawing or art or storytelling. This time of creativity is something that never leaves this kind of temperament. My husband was telling me that he used to walk along the beach as an only child because that's where his parents went to drink all weekend. So he'd take off, he'd collect shark's teeth, and this music would play in his head. And as soon as I heard that, a musician appeared in our lives and asked to exchange services. So that music finally came out, you know, when he was in his 50s. And to this day, you know, we've been selling that music for like 20 years. My stepson, as an example, is somebody that had to get the music out before he could make friends, go on a date. It was just a paramount aspect. And now I understand it, because here I am, a middle-aged adult, and I'm a prolific writer, and I can't get the writing out of my head. I got to write. I can have a project in my head for 3 years, and once I start, it goes. So there is an artistic temperament, but if we keep shutting them down, they never have time to create. They never have time to daydream. None of this connection to the energy of creativity can flow. And so we, as parents, look what we worry about. Social skills. What am I going to think of my 14-year-old stepson who comes to live with me and spends his weekend closed up in his room? Well, you know, I'm the step-parent. I know better. I'm a teacher. You need to get friends. You need to have a party. You need to go take a walk. You need to wash your bed, you know. And that was it. It was like, Karen, you know, I'm happy to contribute to the family. I don't need friends. And now that I'm an adult and all of my siblings are adults, I understand that I'm married and intuitive. We are very happy together. We don't travel to family reunions. I don't like loud sound. So I chose a lifestyle that I wanted. It's not rich. I don't make $500,000 a year. But I have never been happier, and I can talk to my cats and dogs all I want without anybody saying how weird I am, okay? Because that's what I'm connected to. I have a green thumb. I have a garden in my home. But that's our lifestyle. My family doesn't understand why I don't go to family reunions and why I don't, you know, go out and party and drink. So when you have an intuitive child, they're going to choose a lifestyle that you're not going to be comfortable with. They might want to travel. They might want to go to art school. I followed a young child from the time she was 4 years old until she's an adult. And I watched her mother raise her with the deepest of empathy for her intuition. The child loved horses. Her grandparents gave her her inheritance early. She just spent 10 years raising horses, showing them, selling them, buying them, and she'd had enough. So she went on to culinary school. She's never going to go to a four-year academic college, and her mom knew that from the first day she was born because they had that connection and respect. So it's a very different lifestyle as an adult, and there's a sensitivity that makes them, I think, shy away from all of the stuff we as parents deem successful, four-year college, lots of good friends. You know, a child who's happy within himself doesn't need that, and they will be most fulfilled spiritually and emotionally when they can follow their inner path, and that's what's different. These kids are not going to follow the path of the other core temperament. They just don't.
I'm listening to what you're saying about connection, about sensitivity of that awareness between the parent and the child, that even though the choices the child makes may not seem typical, that they're right for, that they resonate for that child. Do you think that our intuitive children help us, almost maybe even kind of call us to, require us to be more in touch with our own intuitive gifts as well?
Oh, yes. Thank you for asking that question. Because I'm the typical example of a child who was close to my mother. And every time my father looked into my eyes, he would say, "What are you thinking about me? What are you feeling about me? What are you reading me for?" Now, you got to understand, this went on my whole life. And I'm an adult, right? I'm a psychologist. I come home for Christmas. My father is still saying the same thing. So I bugged the hell out of him. We were not close. Because he could always see me see him, and he didn't like it. My mother, on the other hand, we could talk about our feelings. It was my grandmother who said, "You can see your Grandpa John in this house, can't you?" And I said, "Yes." I used to talk to my dead Grandpa John all the time. I don't know why he hung around my grandmother's house years after he was gone, but he did. She knew his spirit, and I used to visit her when I was a young girl. So there is this connection that I feel people with high intuitive intelligence and empathy have. It can be between parents or intergenerations. It can be between a teacher who recognizes this child's gift. But we're always a reflection. They are always reflecting empathically our own connection to them. And yes, I think if my father were not an alcoholic, I think he would have had respect and wonder at it and be able to speak with me about it like my mother did. You know, what are you feeling today, Karen? You've been so quiet. You know?
Yeah.
That's just a common parental respect. You're right, Mom, I am quiet, you know? I lied. Had an argument with my girlfriend today. So the fact that people talk about, you know, their adolescents will come to them with their feelings, that they can be heard, that's primary importance. This creative time, the silent time, I used to go read a book, and then I'd go write my own story. I did this 1 year, in my 10th and 11th years, as an adult, as a prepubescent. I would read Nancy Drew books for hours, all summer long, and then I would go write in my own journal my own investigative story. Now, I never planned to be a writer. I never knew about it. But my mother used to just bug me like I bugged my stepson. You know, go outside, get some fresh air, go play. It's like, I don't want to. I want to create a detective story, and that's what I'm going to do. So she quit bothering me like I quit bothering my stepson over the years, or my daughter. But that's the kind of project that came to me that year, and it went on for 2 summers. And I'd never planned to be a writer. It never occurred to me I could ever make a living doing anything like that. So, consequently, I hope I answered your question about the needs of the children and how parents don't need to worry about it. All they have to do is ask questions and find out what's in their head and in their heart and pull it out and start a discussion and help them achieve it.
And it's wonderful because one of the things I like about reading about parenting styles in your book is that you don't have to be just like your child in order to relate to them. In fact, it helps that you may be different so that you can use your skills, they use their skills, and you come together in that way. Because, of course, these are wonderful, precious children, as great as they are going into a world where not everyone will be like them. And so we can give them tools to be successful in that world without crushing all their gifts.
Exactly. And we can also, I never understood the comment my daughter used to say, which is, just give me space, Mom, give me space. To me, the psychologist, that's, emotional space. But no, she was actually talking about creative space for she and her friend to plan this trip to go visit colleges that they wanted to then present to their parents and ask for money. So, if we're helping them interface, there's a mutual respect to leaving them alone, letting them solve their own problems, and letting them learn the consequences. I was willing for my stepson to go to public school instead of a private school like his parents put him in to see what happened. He lasted 1 week. And he said, okay, I did it. Now, can we go find a private school, please? Because he was put, he was put in classes where he got 100 on a test, but everybody else in the class got the F, so the teacher threw him all away. So when he asked that his grade be reviewed, she would say, no, you're a troublemaker, go away. So, no, he couldn't ask questions. No, she wasn't willing to listen. No, she was not willing to allow students to express in a different type of way, like orally or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we honor these things, but I also feel, okay, he has the consequences of what it's like in a public school. These are your choices. Are you going to help us pay for your private school? The answer, of course, was yes, and he took a job. Right. So this is reality for families, and it's reality for our children. Mm.
Now, you are listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. My guest is Dr. Karen Good, and we'll be right back after this.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible to help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks. Powerful, inspiring. They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up. That helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their life.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome.
overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on Transformation Talk Radio.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. My guest on today's show is Dr. Karen Good. She is the author of Raising Intuitive Children and a ton of other very cool books. You should go over to drkarengood.com. Let me spell that for you. That's drkarengood.com or to raisingintuitivechildren.com to check out her work and find out more about what she's up to. Now, Karen, do you think that there are more intuitive children coming in now than there were, say, 20 years ago, or are we just more aware of them?
Well, I tend to think that more children are developing intuitive senses for different reasons. So the answer to your question is both. I believe that with the environmental toxicity and the genetic changes that are taking place at this time right now, more children are empathic. I'm seeing more intuitive children in classrooms, and I get more content from parents and questions about, you know, things that are not necessarily related to spirituality or New Age. Obviously, we get the sensitivity, the empathy, but there's a lot of creativity out there and gifted minds of highly intuitive individuals that are very artistic. So there's a lot of that, and it is increasing. And you're seeing the books increase. I'm seeing it more in the therapeutic model. I'm seeing it more in the coaching models. And I, of course, am trying to bridge the gap for parents of intuitive children and education and you know, the more mainstream ideas. So that's kind of where I've placed myself. But I do believe that it is advancing, and I think we're going to see only more of it.
Now, how can, you mentioned coaching, how can that help a parent who is, I very often in what I do work with parents who have children who are developing what I think we'd call psychic abilities and want to work with their parents on that. How can coaching help a parent raise their intuitive child, give them insight? How would you even work out a relationship with a coach? How does that work?
When a parent comes to a parent coach, they sign an agreement, and the coach is a strength-based model that works with the core temperament of family members. So if there's a clash of temperaments, like the doer versus, you know, a feeler, there's lots of issues to work on. Understanding how the child learns, understanding how the child deals with stress, almost like predicting stressful situations and preventing meltdowns. Parenting coaches work with parents on understanding how a child's empathy works. Like for younger children who go to school or kindergarten, I have a particular case that I think shows how a child saw a dog hurt in a backyard, and he came home and said, Mommy, I hurt. Well, she finally figured out it wasn't the child. Yes, the child hurt, but it was the dog. You know, the child really was not, you know, cut or anything. So parent coaching builds upon the strength of the family members in communication and learning and patterns of behavior that are strengthening rather than debilitating, particularly emotional patterns and responsiveness. We have to be responsive in a respectful, kind way for these children.
And it's, and it all, I think also it's, I'm not sure the right way to say this, but our responsiveness allows then our child to be responsive to us, right? Because we're opening that door. If all I do is yell at you, come out of your room, come out of your room, come out of your room, that doesn't allow you to respond to me in the way that's going to help us move forward.
That's correct. Or in a way that actually helps the child use their strengths to interface with the world, to find what they want to do, to find a successful venue for their artistic efforts or creative efforts. You know, by the time they're 13, they're well on their way to what they want to do. So are we going to help them or not?
Do you feel like these kids have the ability to change the world? It's a loaded question. I think they do. Hey, Karen, do you feel these kids have the ability to change the world?
Oh, yes, I do. And I feel we're moving now as we move through this time in life and in human development to the time of the heart, to the time of the feelings, to the time of the acceptance of energy. I mean, you know, what you and I have been in this field for how long? 20, 30 years? I don't know how old you are, but we're certainly old enough to understand the mind-body connection and that we are an energy body, a dynamic energy responsive body. So between Eastern medicine and Eastern philosophies and things that we can do to help our children strengthen their inner confidence, I think this is where our society is going. Look at the numbers of autistic children and look at how quickly special education and educational development had to change in order to accommodate an entire two generations now of children who are different. Well, amen. You know, intuition is not far behind in the intuitive children who feel energy and see energy and speak about connection, psychic connection, energy connection, emotional connection. It's all changing. And so you bet they've loved away because they're here now and we're adapting. Amen. We are adapting.
Amen. And thank you so much for being on the program today. I've enjoyed myself thoroughly, so I hope you had fun too. And thank you for sharing your good work. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And that was Dr. Karen Good. She is the author of Raising Intuitive Children. She's also the author of Children Who See Ghosts and many other really cool books. So head over to drkarengood.com or to raisingintuitivechildren.com to find out more about what she offers. Now, that's all the time that we have for today, and I would love it if you could go over to fogcitypsychic.com and just start clicking around. This radio show, Out of the Fog, is expanding in the best possible way, I think, starting December 4th. That is next week. We are adding a show on Tuesdays at noon on Empower Radio. And that means that you and I get to connect twice a week now to hear new interviews with fascinating spiritual guests. You can get details about all my upcoming radio hijinks. You can hear hear recordings of past episodes at fogcitypsychic.com. All you have to do is just click on the Out of the Fog logo on the homepage. Now, next week at this time on Transformation Talk Radio and the mighty WBLQ, my guest will be Harry Massey. He is going to introduce us to the Choice Point movement. I don't know if any of you have seen the Choice Point movie, but we're going to be talking about that, and he's going to be sharing some of his experience with us. Don't forget when you're over at fogcitypsychic.com that the next online psychic development intensive begins in January. I think it's January 7th, right at the beginning of the new year. It's a great way if you've been wanting to find a safe space to explore and experiment with your intuition, then that might be the right place for you. Thank you for listening today. Together, we are spreading a little more light in the world. And a little more light is always a good thing. Until next time, I'm wishing you peace.
You've been listening to the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to spark your spirit and ignite your soul. Visit FogCityPsychic.com today to book your session with Karen and learn about upcoming events and classes. If you've missed any part of this amazing show, go to FogCityPsychic.com for your free download. See you next week.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transform your life.
I used to be afraid, and now I love. I feel like fear just cripples you and love frees you. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing and changing from fear to love and showing people that that's the only way. I love, I love, I love. I no longer fear. Thank you.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think the Dr. Pat Show's the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.